Okay. Okay, so tonight is the final shiur on Hadassim and Aravos, and everything else you have to know about putting the Dalet Minim together. Okay, so let's start with Hadassim. Hadassim is called in the Torah Anaf Eitz Avos. You should take Bayem Arishim Pri Eitz Hadar Kapos Tmarim, that's the Esrig and the Lulav, Anaf Eitz Avos V'Arvei Nochal. It's the Hadassim and the Aravos. Anaf Eitz Avos is referring to the myrtle branch that we take the Hadassim. The Gemara and the Aflamid Beis in Sukkah says that this is what the Pasuk is referring to. And the word Avos, Anaf Eitz Avos, Avos with an ayin, means something that grows with three leaves on one level. That's kind of the way it is by a hadas, that on the stem of a hadas has three leaves growing out on each level. And the Gemara says, Eitz Avos kosher. If it has three leaves growing on each level, then it's kosher. V'she'enoy Avos pasal. If it's not Avos, it's not just lacking in the hiddur, it's pasal in Gansan. Now this is the main din that we have to know about a hadas. When you look for a hadas, you look for hadasim, you have to find three hadasim, and each hadas has to be what's called meshulash. Meshulash means that it has to have three leaves growing out from one level. On all the levels that there's leaves growing, you have to have three levels. We'll see exactly how much is the shear of it. But if not, it's called a hadas shaita in the Gemara. Hadas shaita, the Mishnah Berurah explains, just like a shaita is very irregular, he walks staggered and not stable. So the same thing, a hadas that has two growing out from one level and one a little bit lower or a little bit higher, that's also a hadas shaita. But that's possible. Now it's very important. Most people are buying hadasim in packages. In Eretz Yisrael, you can buy them. You can buy them here also. In the pots, they sell a single hadasim. You could go choose out your own hadasim. But most people are buying the package hadasim. No matter what it says on the package, you have to check the hadasim. Some of it you could check when the package is still closed, but when you take them out, you have to check them even more carefully, because if your hadasim are not kosher, it doesn't make a difference what name it says on the package. You have to be sure that your hadasim are kosher in order to make a bracha on the dalet minim. Now, there is an extra on the package, but I'm telling you that it's the people who check these hadasim are not the people whose names are on the hechsher. The people who are bachrim, who are trained by them and tell, they know certain basic halachas and they do it very quickly, and sometimes they're accurate, but sometimes they're not. You could find sometimes the hadasim have a good hechsher, and you take a look and it only has two leaves. It doesn't even have a third leaf coming out b'chlal. You see on the bottom of the bag is one leaf that fell off that made the hadas puzzle. So you have to be sure, careful to check your own hadasim, not just to make a bracha on yontif without checking it. Now, what's the din? The main din of the hadas is that it has to be meshulash. So what's exactly meshulash? So words of the Rishayim is that it has to be three leaves coming out b'shura achas, all in one row. The Rosh says she'ein ha'echad namuch mechaveiroi, that one shouldn't be lower than the other. Those three that come out on the same level have to be exactly the same level. Now, the Chazainish said that even though the Gemara says that the Rishayim are saying that it has to be equal, ein echad namuch mechaveiroi, the Chazainish said that even if it's not perfectly even, but if you have each leaf comes out of a little stem, if those three stems overlap each other in a way that if you would take an imaginary string, if you take a string and wrap it around, or any chut or a straight line, and go around this hadas, you would be able to touch all the stems with one straight line, even though one of them might be the top of it, the other one might be the bottom of it, but these three leaves come out from stems that overlap each other. That is also considered b'shura achas. That's called a hadas meshulash. It's not a hadas shaita. This is something the Chazinish said. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman said that he was mechamed to it on his own, that it's called in the Velt a chut hamakif. Chut hamakif means a chut, that like a string that is makif, goes around the hadas, and there is no chut there, but it's imaginary chut, that if the three leaves come out, pretty much it looks like the same level, and you're looking at it carefully, you see that each stem overlaps the other one, even though it's not perfectly equal, that's good enough, says the Chazinish, and all the Paiskim go along with this. Now there's a terrible misconception in the Welt about this Chazinish, and people think that the Chazinish is a Chumrah, that you have to, so that the Chazinish was Machmir, that you have to be able to make a string to go around it and it has to overlap, as if to say without the Chazinish they don't have to be equal, just if it looks pretty similar that's okay, and the Chazinish came and said a Chumrah, no, it has to be that all the three stems overlap. It's the exact opposite. The Rishonim say b'shura achas, shelo yehi echad namach mechaveiro. That's the pashtas hasugya. The Chazinish came up with the Kula that that's also considered level. That's also considered that it comes out the same level if the stems overlap each other. That's called Beshura Achas. But the Chazinish has to be for us the minimum standard. No one is making more than the Chazinish. If you have that, if you're looking for Shilush Gomer, which some of the briskers look for, even not relying on the Chazinish, trying that it should be perfect, you could spend your whole Elzman looking for a Hadas, which Rabbi Avraham Yeshua Soloveitchik's son does. I met him in Eretz Yisrael, going around looking for Hadassim. By the time it was close to Rosh Hashanah, he'd been going around for a few weeks, he found one kosher Hadas in Yerushalayim. Because he was looking that it has to be perfect, and some people have chumadika eyes, and a drop off, he holds is not straight, so that's a problem. But the Chazinish said, and Rav Shlomo Zalman and many other poiskim, the stipler brings rayas to it, that it's, if it overlaps, that's also good enough. If the three stems overlap, that's good enough. But to go less than that, and to say, well, it looks pretty similar, but then when you get close, you make a string around it, and you see that it doesn't hit one of the stems, that's something that's a hadas shaita, that's not called mashulish, and therefore you can't use that for your hadas. Now, how much of the shear has to be mishulash? That each level has to be mishulash, but how much, the hadas is a long bad, a long string, a long branch, so how much of it has to be mishulash? So now, the shear of a hadas is shloisha tvachim, three tvachim. As we said last night, the tefach in a mitzvah d'oraisa is 10 centimeters, like the shear of the chazanish. Therefore, a hadas is very simple to calculate, 30 centimeters, which is 1 foot. Take a ruler, 1 foot, that is the shear of a hadas, that's also the shear of the arava, by the way. So the shear of the hadas is gimel tfachim, which is 1 foot, 30 centimeters. How much of it has to be mishulash? So the Torah brings from the Gaonim that it has to be entirely mishulash. The entire shear of 30 centimeters, not your entire hadas, the hadas sometimes is much longer, but at least the 30 centimeters of it have to be mishulash, and the Shulchan Aruch, we paskin that l'chatchila, it's supposed to be kol shear, the entire shear has to be mishulash. However, b'di'evit, if you took a hadas, that roiv of it is mishulash, which means more than 15 centimeters of this wood is covered with rows that are mishulash, so then that's good enough. However, b'di'evit means if you did it already, if in the middle of yontif it happened and now you don't have another hadas, or if you did it already, do you have to do it again? But when you go by the packages of the hadasim, you're going to see some of them will say kuloi and some of them will say ruboi. Kuloi means the entire shear of 30 centimeters is mishulash, and ruboi, which is going to be much cheaper, means that roiv of the shear, more than 15 centimeters worth of these rows are mishulash, but all of it is not mishulash. You're not supposed to buy rubai mishulash. You're supposed to buy kula mishulash, because when you're buying it, that's called l'chatchila. It's called that you're buying it before yantif. The l'chatchila, the din in Shulchan Aruch, is to buy hadasim that are kula mishulash, that the entire shear is mishulash. What it's going to say there is kula chazanish. That's usually the best bags. They say kula chazanish. What does it mean, chazanish? Again, it doesn't mean the chazanish gave a hechsher on the hadas, and it doesn't mean the chazanish's level of the chut hamakif. That's not what it means. What it means is the chazanish's shear of what is a tefach. A tefach, the chazanish says, is 10 centimeters. Some people say it's 8 point something centimeters. It's not exactly 10. When you have kula chazanish, that means the chazanish's shear, 30 centimeters, is kulay mishulash, or rubay chazanish, if it's roiv mishulash. But again, what we're looking for, even if it's a few extra dollars, you do the mitzvah the way the Shulchan Aruch says it, is to buy kulay chazanish, meaning kulay mishulash, according to the shear of the chazanish, and then you have a hadas that's kosher l'chatchila. Let's say, now let me just give you an eitzah. When you're checking your hadasim, even in the package, one side has all the important information on it, but the other side is blank, which is more important to me, that you're able to see through it, through the plastic, and see the hadas. When you're checking all the levels to see that it's mishulash, I would recommend that you start from the bottom, because the shilish gets better as you get to the top. If you start from the top, you're going to see, oh, this is beautiful, it's mishulash, 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 and after 5 or 10 centimeters, then it's going to start getting a little further apart from each other, you're going to get disappointed. So what you do is you have a tape measure there, and you start not from the bottom of the hadas, but from the bottom of that shear of 30 centimeters. Say 30 centimeters starts over here from the top of the hadas, so you start over here. If from here on up, you have the first two or three are perfect mishulash, chances are you're going to have a beautiful hadas, because the shilish usually gets better as you go up. So you start measuring the 30 centimeters, and you start looking from the bottom of that shear, and then as it goes up, you'll be able to see that the shilush is going to be good. Now, let's say one leaf falls off. You had something that was in the right bag, and you had it perfectly kuloi meshulush. It was 30 centimeters meshulush. But now, as you stuck it into the kaishikol, the thing that holds the hadasim, or as you took it out of the bag, one of the leaves fell off. What's the halacha? So the Mishnah Berurah says that we go like the Ran, which is that if one leaf falls off, that level is not called meshulush. And you've just made this hadas instead of kuloi meshulush, rubai meshulush, which again is impossible, but it's not l'chatchila. And therefore, if this happens before Yontif, you should pull out that hadas and exchange it with another hadas. When I buy the packages that say kuloi meshulash, even if the package says kuloi chazinish or that, I usually buy two packages for myself, which gives you six hadasim, and then you pick out the three best ones from there. Depends on my year, sometimes I buy three, but usually two is good enough that you get, I have kids already now, so I give like the leftovers to the kids. But the point is that you get a little bit extra, and or someone else in the family who doesn't care as much exactly on the kuloi chazinish, and you pick out the three nicest ones, and then the other ones will be for other people. Lamaisa, the shear that you have to be marked on is the 30 centimeters. Kuloi chazinish, make sure even one doesn't fall off. Now, it's kedai to get the hadasim a little bit longer, because when you stick in the hadasim into the kaishigal, sometimes the bottom ones, taka one of the leaves rip, you only figure it out on chalamayit if it falls out. So you don't know. So sometimes what's best is to get a hadas that's more than 30 centimeters. Most of the badim of hadasim that they sell are taka much longer than 30 centimeters, more like 40 or 45. You stick in the bottom part and you have kimat the entire 30 centimeters sticking out like this. You see exactly the shilush and you know that it didn't get ripped off. That's just advisable in terms of practically sticking it in to make sure that your hadas still has the shilush when you're being mekayim the mitzvah, which is of course the most important time. The last thing about hadasim that I want to say is that by lulav there's a psul when the leaves that are covering the shedra of the lulav don't reach, one at the top of one doesn't reach the bottom of the other. If it leaves the, let's say you have the leaves by lulav, it's kamad never found, the leaves come one after the other, but sometimes you have like the leaves of one lulav, one level of the lulav are on the right and left side of the lulav, the next leaf starts like an inch or two higher than the end of the other one. That's called sinei harabarzel. The Gemara says that that's not good, but that doesn't come up by lulav too often. By hadasim, there is no psul like that. The leaves don't have to be reaching the beginning of the next level, which is important that there's no psul, because many hadasim taka don't have that. However, the paiskim say there's a hiddur that the entire branch, as much as possible, should be covered with the leaves. You should get, sometimes you find these hadasim that are very sparse, right? That you have only a few rows. Most of it you just see the brown wood, and the leaves don't cover that much of it. You shouldn't get those. You should get the ones that look very full, enough of choyfenes eitzay, that it covers the wood. That, again, it's not possible without that, but that's a hiddur that the paiskim talk about, that the leaves should be covering the wood as much as possible. Again, on the top, it's almost always like that. You can't even see the brown. The green is, the leaves are always surrounding it, but on the bottom, it gets a little more spaced out, so you have to try to be mindful that from the 30 centimeters and up, it should be covering most of the eighths as much as possible. Okay, that's the main dinim about hadasim. I just want to say a few words about aravos. The shear of aravos is also the same three tfachim, which is 30 centimeters, 1 foot. Same thing. Very, very important. I see that many people don't know this. The shear of aravos that you take on Hoshana Rabbah, the five aravos that you're going to bang, you do nothing with it except stand with it on Hoshana Rabbah and walk around and then bang it, has the same exact halachas as the aravos that you take in Dalet Minim. Shulchan Aruch says in Tav Reish Samach Dalet, all the dinim of aravos that are nageah on your lulav are nageah to the arava of Hoshana Rabbah. Therefore, the night before when you're very tired and very rushed and you have to buy for $5 or even less than that, you buy five aravos, you have to check them also with your measuring stick. You have to come chol hamoed and make sure that it's 30 centimeters, that I have a kosher arava, that's 1 foot tall, 30 centimeters, the minimum shear of arava. There are not that many dinim of arava. One din is that yavesh is possible, if it's dry it's possible, but our aravos that sometimes you're nervous that it's lacking a little gusto, it's lacking a little life, that's not a psul of yavesh. Yavesh is when it's yalbinu peneim, the thing gets white, instead of the green leaves it gets white, sometimes it gets brown and all that, but that's not going to be a psul of yavesh. Also, it's only if roiv of the leaves are like that. However, it's better to have muhudadika aravas that don't hang down and are standing with life. Therefore, on Chol HaMoed, when you find people selling aravas, it's kedai to change it at least once a yontif, because sometimes by Chol HaMoed already, your aravas are like not too gishmak. You're standing there with a beautiful lulav, a beautiful hadasim, and the aravas don't complete the beauty of the mitzvah, so it's kedai for an extra $1, a few dollars, whatever it is, to buy extra aravas on Chol HaMoed in order to keep it fresh. Yeah. Oh, so the nifrach hitzipayrin, when it cracks off, if you touch it, it's still not the level of psul. It's only when it's loven, when a mamish turns white, which comes later on. What, white? No. White aravis, maybe save him for a year. It turns like a purple, like a brown. Yeah, but that's not the shear of dry. Let's say a leaf falls off of your arava. This happens on a Shana Rabbah, you get them off on purpose. But on the regular arava, what happens when a leaf falls off? So the Shulchan Aruch says, only if roiv of the leaves fall off is it possible. So if one or two fall off, the Shulchan Aruch will say, you don't have to worry about it. However, there's an important rule in aravis. The Mishnah Berurah says, kivan she'aravis metsuyos, since we have aravis, and this is true these days also, there's no shortage of aravis. Many people grow them in the backyard. Therefore, you should be machmer like the shita that says that even if one leaf falls off, you shouldn't use the arava. Therefore, the Mishnah Berurah says, if you have an arava that you stick in and one leaf falls off, you shouldn't use such an arava. So again, the point by the hadassim and the aravas, when you stick it into this kashikal, is that you should stick it in very delicately. And if you have to pull it out for some reason, you pull it out from the bottom, not to go against the tide. You pull it out from the bottom and then put it back in if something happened. When you pull it out from the bottom, it's a safer bet that the leaves are not going to come off. What's called if a leaf fell off? Sometimes you have a little piece of the leaf that's missing. That's not called the leaf fell off. By Hadassim and Arava, the Marsham says that a leaf falling off, the gather of a leaf falling off is if roiv ha'aleh, most of the leaf is off. Sometimes a little bit gets nicked. You see, like a little bit of the arava leaf is missing. That's not called that the leaf fell off. It's only considered the leaf falling off if roiv of it fell off. Okay, now in Eretz Yisrael, they scream when they're selling aravas, they scream lavluv, lavluv. Did you ever hear the word lavluv? Lavluv is something that they scream in aravas. Sometimes they call the arava lavluv. What the lavluv is a very soft leaf on top of the aravas. On top of the arava, there's a soft leaf, and that is to guarantee the fact that the arava is not niktam roisha. The way they grow in Eretz Yisrael is that the natural, on top of the stem of the arava is this little soft leaf, and if it doesn't have that, there's a strong chash in Eretz Yisrael that it's niktam. However, the metzias is different than chutz la'aretz. In America, most aravas don't grow with a lavluv. Therefore, if you don't have a lavluv, so you don't have a problem with that. You just have to be sure you know who cut this off, that he didn't cut it off, chas v'shalom, from the top of the arava, because then it's niktam roisha, that's possible. You cut it off from the bottom, and then you're sure that the thing is not niktam. That's important because niktam roisha is possible. Those who are going to Eretz Yisrael, if you buy aravas in Eretz Yisrael, you should buy a tafka with the lavluv, which is most of the aravas have a lavluv there. Because without a lavluv in Eretz Yisrael, the place can say that it's a suffix, that it's considered niktam roisha. Okay, one last issue is that the aravas are called arvei nacha, willows that grow by the brook, grow by a nacha. Rashi says in Sukkah that l'chatchili you're supposed to get a willow that doesn't grow in your backyard. You're supposed to get one that grows on a nachal, grows by a brook. Many aravas that they sell are taka arvei nachal, they grow by the brook. Taisus holds that it's ma'akev, but we don't pass them like that. L'maisa in Shulchan Aruch, it's brought down the sheet of the Rosh, which says, Loi ra'isi ha'olam nizharim b'zeh. I never saw people be a zohir about this. Therefore, you don't need arvei nachal. However, the poskim say, the Mishnah Berurah says already, Yoseh toiv, it's better to be to these shitas, the shita of Rashi, that the aravas should be arvei nachal. So if sometimes when you hear a lot of people selling aravas, you don't know which one to get, sometimes you find out by chance, if you inquire a little bit, that these aravas came from a place where it grows by a brook. I know in Eretz Yisrael they say that the aravas that they sell from Motza, which is a city right outside of Yerushalayim, and by Motza all the aravas grow on a brook. So when I was in Eretz Yisrael, I looked specifically for Motza Adatim. They sell it aravas. If they don't sell it on this block, they sell it down the block. So if it's easy to get, it's taka kedai to do that, but you shouldn't make yourself crazy for it, even if it's any aravas, as long as it's that min, the willow, it doesn't have to grow by a nachal, that's still kosher for your mitzvah of dalad min. Okay, so let's just summarize what we have, the dinam of hadasim and aravas. Both of them, the shear is 1 foot, which is 30 centimeters. You have to bring your measuring stick to see for sure. Sometimes the moicher will have it there, but even the packaged hadasim, you have to measure it and make sure that it has the shear. By hadasim, l'chatchilo, the entire shear of 30 centimeters has to be Meshulash. And Meshulash, as we said, is three coming out of one row. One row, he said, like the Chazanish, means that even if it's not perfectly one row, but if the stems that the leaves come out from overlap each other in a way that you could make a chut hamakif, one string that will go around and overlap all the stems, even if one is towards the bottom, the other is towards the top, that's enough to be called Meshulash. But anything less than that, if it's a little bit off, that's not going to be good enough. If one falls off, the Mishnah Berurah says Ruchayshish, and therefore you have to stick it in very delicately. It's better to get a little longer hadasim in order that when you stick it in, you're not going to have a leaf falling off within the shear of the 30 centimeters. It's mehudr if it has a lot of leaves surrounding the wood, but it's not possible without that. And by Aravos, the Mishnah Berurah says that since Aravos are mitzuyos, it's better to be machmir that even if one leaf of the Arava comes off, you shouldn't use such an Arava. It's kedai to get extra ones to make sure that they stay fresh and mehudr over yontif. We don't need a lav luv here in Chutz La'aretz, but as long as you make sure again that it's not niktam roishai, that the stem, the wood is not cut off on top, and if it's possible to get aravos hagedelin al hanachal that grow by the brook, that's taka yidu to be yoytzer rashi's lechatchila. But if you can't find that, it's also good, and you yoytzer your mitzvah with any aravos. Okay, so that's the dinam of hadasim and aravos. I just want to add now a few points legabi the actual mitzvah of the dalet minim, putting together the lulav together with the hadasim and aravos. The din is that you're supposed to take the lulav, which has the hadasim and aravos together with it, in the right hand, and the esrig is in the left hand. In the lulav, you put the hadasim on the right side of the lulav. That means that the lulav is facing you, which means you see that thick shedra, the thick backbone of the lulav, facing you. You put in the hadasim on the right side, three hadasim on the right side, and two aravos on the left side. The din is that the hadasim should be placed a little higher than the aravos. Doesn't make a difference how tall they are, but you stick it in a little deeper to make that the hadasim, the top of the hadasim, is higher than the top of the aravos. Something very, very chashuv, Rabbi Isai. It's worth coming to all the shiurim just to hear this point, because I see so many people unfortunately making a brachal of atalah, and you have to be sure you get this clear. The shear of a lulav, we said, is the shedra of the lulav is dalet tfachim, right? Four tfachim for the shedra of the lulav, not counting the top leaves, till the top of the shedra. The shear of the hadasim and the aravos is three tfachim, one tefach lower than that. However, it says in Shulchan Aruch from the Ran, really from the Lashon HaGemara, Shedra Shalulav Sarach Sheyetzei Min HaHadas Tefach. It's not enough that the lulav, the shedra is four, and the hadas is three. If you put the hadasim too high up, and the shedra of the lulav is not sticking up higher than the hadas of tefach, that's called that the lulav is pachas mikashir, even if it's the tallest lulav in the city. You have to make sure that when you tie the lulav and the kosh, when you put the koshka on the lulav, it's not so high up on the lulav. It's lower down, especially if your lulav is not so tall. You could have the hadasim sticking out underneath the lulav. It doesn't make a difference. The point is that the top of the hadasim, if you were to line it up against the lulav, you'll have a tefach of the shedra remaining by the lulav. Shedra shalulav, tzarech sheyetzei min ahadas tefach. Shulchan Aruch and Simon Tafrei Shnun brings this down. This is very important, not only to get the minim that are the right shear, but to tie it on the right way, that the shedra is sticking out higher than the hadasim, and then of course higher than the aravos. Now, how many rings do you tie, you take from those leaves of the lulav, you tie the rings? There's different minhagim the Mishnah Berurah brings down, besides the koshikol, which is that thing that you're going to buy to just put the hadasim and the aravos into it. Some people do two bindalach, two besides the koshikol, some people do three. I happen to do three, but there's different minhagim the Mishnah Berurah already brings down, different minhagim. If you do two or three besides the koshikol, that's very good. You just, again, have to be sure that the top tefach of the shedra of the lulav, in addition to being higher than the hadasim, also has to be higher than the top bindle. How do you say bindle in English? The ring. Has to be higher than the top ring. The ring has to be, in other words, the top shedra of the lulav should have nothing there. You're able to see the shaking of the lulav over there perfectly. The ring doesn't go within the top tefach of the shedra, and the hadasim and the aravos don't either. The Shulchan Aruch and Simon Tafresh Nun Aleph says that there's a chumrah, the chatchila, that where the hadasim and the aravos are held together with the lulav, a person should make a kesher al gabi kesher, a double knot, tying them in. I've seen Paiskim do this. It looks a little clumsy, that after that you have a Kaishikal there, you tie one of the bindalach around the Kaishikal, and then when you tie it, instead of the normal one knot, you do again a double knot. Sometimes it doesn't make it tighter. Adrava sometimes makes it a little looser. Definitely not tighter. But the way it's supposed to be is a double knot. It's, if you know how to do it, if it's a moist ring, so it'll make it tighter, and you don't want to squeeze the Hadassim and the Aravas in a way that at least will fall off. But if it's possible to get a kesher, al-gabe kesher, a double knot on the ring that's holding around the Hadassim and the Aravas, that's something that the Shulchan Aruch brings down as l'chatzila. I've seen some people do that. Okay. What do you say? You shouldn't do it on Yontif. Yes, this is something that has to be done before Yontif. I once forgot to do it before Yontif, and in Eretz Yisrael, the Kiyud saw me, and I had told him beforehand that I had wanted to do it, so he did it for me on Yontif. It was Cholamayit for him, second day Yontif, so he did it for me. But you can't make a kasher agave kasher on Yontif. Okay, as we said, the lulav is in your right hand, the esrog is in the left hand. A lefty does it the opposite. The lulav is in his left hand, and the esrog is in his right hand. Now it says in the Paiskim that even at the time of Hoshanis, when you're going around, it's better l'chatchila to hold the lulav and the esrog in a way that you would be yotze the mitzvah, which is the lulav in the right hand and the esrog in the left hand, which causes a technical difficulty if you don't know all the Hoshanis by heart. Where do you hold the sitter? So if you look around at the Talmid HaChachamim, you see exactly how they do it. They hold the lulav in the right hand, the esrog in the left hand, and the sitter is over here on their arms. You hold it, sometimes the page gets lost, so you go like this and you do it. But it's better to taka do that so you could have the lulav. Mishnah Berurah already brings it down that even at the time of the Hoshanis, you have the lulav in the right hand and the esrog in the left hand. Okay, that's again l'chatchila. If it's too inconvenient for you, so you could do without it, but it's best to hold the lulav in the right hand, the esrog in the left hand, even at the time of the Hoshanis. When are you supposed to make the bracha? Before you mekayim the mitzvah, so that it could be over l'asiyasan, before the mitzvah. But if you say the bracha before you pick it up, the Paiskim say that that's too early. You don't even have the lulav and esrog in your hand, and you're making the bracha ready. So what should you do? You should pick it up. The Paiskim say you should pick it up. You pick up the esrog upside down, the pitam or wherever the pitam was, facing down. You hold it upside down. You're not mekayim the mitzvah if you hold it upside down. Now you're not mekayim the mitzvah, but you have them in your hand. You make the bracha. On the first day, you make both brachas, shechiyanu. After the brachas, you turn it over. And right now, you have kavana, you mekayim the mitzvah of dalet minim. And right now, you do it. Some say you don't have to do it upside down. You just have in mind you don't want to be yoitza till after the brachas. Because even if you hold mitzvah, ain't svichas kavana. If you have kavana lehepach, that you don't want to be yoitza, then you're not yoitza. But as we saw in Rosh Hashanah, there are some yishayim that hold, even if you have kavana lehepach, you're yoitza. So the Paiskim say the best yoitza is to hold the esrog upside down to make sure that you're not yoitza. At that point, you make the brachas and then flip it over. After you flip it over, you shake the lulav and esrog. Which directions you shake depends on your minig. The minig of Ashkenaz is very simple. You go around in a clockwise circle and up and down. You start front, right, back, left, all the way around, and then up and down. The minig of the Sfaradim, based on the Arizal, it's a little more complicated. You do to the right and then to the left, and then front, then up and down, and then back. Right and left, front, and then up and down, and then back. For me, it's easy to remember that way because I've been doing it since I'm a little kid. But for the objective onlooker, Ashkenaz, a little smoother. You go all the way around in a circle, and then up and down. Everyone should do exactly according to their minig. As we mentioned yesterday, the Ramah says when you shake, there should be kiskus al, and you shake it a little bit. Not too much that the whole lulav is going to split, but you should shake it with a little bit of life that the leaves should shake. And a very important thing the Shulchan Aruch says, when you take the lulav and esrog, the esrog should be touching the lulav, or the kaishikal, which is good enough. Shouldn't be one in the right hand, one in the left hand, and you're shaking it, you're shaking it. It has to be that they're touching together. It brings in the Beis Yosef all in Yonim about this, that the four minim are representative of the four letters in Yudkei Vavkei, and if you keep the esrog separately, it's as if you wrote the Shem Hashem with separation. All in Yonim about this, Apiderach HaKabbalah, it's very important to be yotze all the inyanim of the Dalet Minim, brought down the Shulchan Aruch that the esrog should be touching the lulav and the Hadassim Aravos when you're shaking. Okay, now, one thing about the shaking of the lulav and esrog in Halal. Where do you shake the lulav and esek in Hallel? It says that you shake it by hoidu. If you look around the shul, you see a lot of amaratzim. So let's get it straight to know exactly where you shake. Hoidu l'ashem ki toiv, ki lo'elam chastoy. You shake one direction for every word, except Hashem doesn't shake. When you say Hashem, so then you stay in one place that's covered for the Shem Hashem. Which means if we're doing Ashkenaz all around and then up and down, you do a hoidu, and then l'ashem, you keep it by you. Ki toiv, ki lo'elam chastoy. Very simple. You shake three times. Hoidu, l'ashem, and ki toiv, ki lo'elam chastoy. One for each word. Then the chazan says his thing, and then what you do, you, for Yoimar Noah, the same thing. There's no Hashem in Yoimar Noah. So it's even simpler. One for each word. Yoimar Noah Yisrael, ki lo'elam chastoy. Each direction, one direction, what? You do it again by each hoidu you do it, and then again by Yoimar. Right. Just a second. No, the chazan is supposed to do it for hoidu and for Yoimar, and not the other two. You do it always by hoidu Hashem Kitoy. That's how it goes. Right. So then the Kaal doesn't do it by Yoimar. It's true. If you're not the chazan, you do it only by all four hoidus. Hoidu, and then you say Yoimar, hoidu, and the next one, hoidu, the next one, and you always do it by the four hoidus and not by Yoimar. Okay. So that's how it is by hoidu. In addition to that, we shake by Ana Hashem Hoshiyana. Again, two per word. That's what it says in the Paiskim. Two per word without shaking Hashem. Oh no, you have to like stretch out the word long with the nusach. Oh no is the first two, and then Hashem you keep to yourself. Hoy Shia is back and right, and then no is a long no, so do the top and bottom. Some people like to do Hoy Shia, three syllables in three places, and no the last one. It says in the Poskim two per word. I don't know if, what in Yonim there are, if you do it three for the one word, one for the other, but if you're tampering with anything important, but the Maisa, the Nanuim are al-derech, the Yonim of the Dalet Minim, for the Ruchais and for the Geshamim, so you might as well do it the way Chazal tells us to do it, and the Paiskim tell us two per word, and that's how we do it. Ana Hashem Hoshia Na, two per word, by Hatzlicha Na, we don't shake B'chlau. Okay, I just want to end off with one final thing, which is that many times when you're looking for your Dalet Minim, Rabbi Stein is selling the Mitzvah Shem Dalet Minim over here. He already started. He was selling over here. It got a little complicated. For personal reasons, he's going to be selling probably in his house now. But the Olam should go check it out. Besides that, he has very good stuff. I saw his Chayra. But when you buy the Dalet Minim yourself, it's something that you feel connected to. The Simcha, when you shake a Dalet Minim, especially if you've been here for the Shiurim, you know some of the Halachas. Even if it takes a few extra moments to choose it out, but if you choose out a nice Esrog that doesn't have black spots, if you choose out a Lulav whose leaves are together on top, that the Yoimis is very nice, it's nice and tall, the Hadassim HaMashulashim, the Aravis you'll get on the Erev Yontif, but also that it makes the Shir, you have a different Simcha of the Mitzvah. The Simcha of the Mitzvah, for Dalet Minim, it says Beferish in the Torah, Usmachten Lufnei Hashem. Until I learned the Halachas of Dalet Minim and knew anything I was talking about, I had very little Simcha in the Mitzvah of Dalet Minim. Your parents get it for you, you get the closed package or the open package, you find out which one is yours, you get someone who knows how to put the rings on to put it on, and you take it and you make sure you don't get it mixed up with someone else in the shul. And if you get it mixed up, so you're Michael him and he's Michael you, and fine. But with a person to feel connected to the mitzvah that's supposed to bring simcha, take, if you wrote notes or if you have it in your head, the basic halachas of the Dalet Minim, choose out ones that are mahudur, even if it's a little bit of extra money, and a mitzvah Shem, you should be zoichet to be mekayim the mitzvah, be'oifen kosher and be'oifen mahudur, and you should have a simcha with the mitzvah that's befitting for such a special mitzvah. Okay.